Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. A man is dead after a shooting in Northeast Wichita. We've got the story.
One person dead after a van crashes into pedestrians near a mosque in London. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Terrifying moments for sailors aboard the USS Fitzgerald. I'm ABC's Janae Norman with how a huge container ship managed to hit the sophisticated U.S. destroyer coming up.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. It looks like the weather pattern from yesterday is going to carry over into today, but a warm-up is on the way early this week. Our complete forecast in minutes.
A 23-year-old man is dead following a shooting in Northeast Wichita Saturday evening.
It happened just before 7:30 at a strip mall in the 3900 block of East 13th Street near Hillside. Wichita Police Sergeant Nikki Woodrow says the victim was found inside a vehicle with multiple gunshot wounds. He was pronounced dead shortly after medics arrived on scene. Sergeant Woodrow says there were numerous individuals in the parking lot where the shooting occurred. Investigators worked through the night interviewing those witnesses and processing the scene. There's no suspect information at this time. Police say if anyone was in the area or has any information on the identity of the suspect, please call Crime Stoppers at 267-2111. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Police in London say one person is dead and 10 are injured after a van drove into a crowd of pedestrians near a mosque. Police have arrested the 48-year-old driver of the van. British Prime Minister Theresa May says police are treating the incident as a potential terrorist attack. ABC's Molly Hunter reports from the scene.
Everyone who saw the attack actually unfold has said there were three people in the van and two people were able to kind of roll out, escape, run away. Now, officials aren't actually saying that other people are under investigation, which is curious because every single person that we're speaking with here definitively said there were three people.
The bodies of seven American sailors have been recovered following the deadly collision between the USS Fitzgerald and a massive cargo ship, this off the coast of Japan.
The collision pitted the 9,000-ton USS Fitzgerald against the 30,000-ton ACX Crystal cargo ship. The destroyer T-boned in the middle of the night, immediately flooding the cramped compartments where more than 100 of the crew slept. The Navy called off the search for survivors and announced divers found the bodies of the seven missing sailors, though it's unclear if they were killed by the impact of the crash or drowned in the flooding. The U.S. Navy has promised to launch at least two investigations to figure out exactly what happened and how a huge container ship managed to hit the sophisticated U.S. destroyer. Janae Norman, ABC News, Washington.
In southwest Kansas, a bicyclist is dead after being hit by a passenger car. It happened Saturday night along K-96 about 8 miles east of Leota. The Kansas Highway Patrol reports 61-year-old Eric Fishbein of San Luis Obispo, California, was headed east on his mountain bike when a passing car hit him from behind. Fishbein was pronounced dead at the scene. Cake News reports ABC affiliate KEYT says Fishbein was participating in the Trans Am Bike Race, a cross-country race that begins in Astoria, Oregon, and concludes in Yorktown, Virginia. The Highway Patrol reports two people in the car were taken to a hospital with possible injuries.
An 82-year-old woman from Texas who got into a scuffle with a Wichita airport security agent will not face charges.
Wichita City Attorney Jennifer Magana said the case against Lila Bryan was dismissed Friday at the request of the security agent. Bryan of Mesquite, Texas, was cited by police May 31st for misdemeanor battery after she hit a Transportation Security Administration agent at Wichita's Dwight Eisenhower Airport. The TSA said Bryan became upset after the agent tried to confiscate a bottle of foaming hand gel that was too large to carry on the plane. She was arrested, photographed, and fingerprinted before being freed. Bryan told the Associated Press after her arrest that she was exhausted and had forgotten to take her bipolar medication before the confrontation. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
A member of President Trump's outside legal team says the president is not under federal investigation. The statement comes even though Trump himself has suggested that he is. The attorney, Jay Sokolow, appeared on several Sunday news programs to counter the impression that Trump has acknowledged he's become a target in the expanding Russia probe. KNSS News time now, 8:05, 5 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Taking a look at the world of golf, Pro Golf makes its annual stop in Wichita. We wrapped up the Air Capital Classic yesterday. We'll have results coming up in sports.
He was part of the Animal House crew. The actor who played Flounder has died. That story on the way on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. A teenage runner in Alaska loses his life to a bear.
A 16-year-old runner has been killed by a black bear. The attack took place Sunday as the teen descended the Bird Ridge Trailhead just south of Anchorage. A state park ranger shot the bear in the face, but it ran away. The close-knit racing community is in shock. The team was part of the juniors division of the Robert Spur Memorial Hill Climb Race. A park ranger says the teen did nothing wrong. He was just in the wrong place. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
A woman from Connecticut is likely facing additional time after lying to avoid going to prison.
37-year-old Aaliyah Davis is scheduled to be sentenced tomorrow in federal court in New Haven after pleading guilty to several crimes in December, including lying about having cancer to avoid reporting to prison on an earlier fraud conviction. Davis had already been sentenced to 4 years in prison in 2014 for a scheme that defrauded Mass Mutual. Prosecutors say she got deferments for her prison sentence by lying that she had terminal cancer. Her lawyer says a fair sentence would be adding 12 to 18 months on top of her previous four-year prison sentence. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
He was part of the Animal House crew. The actor who played Flounder has died.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, so.
He had a long list of credits as an actor and director-producer, but Stephen Furst will always be remembered for his turn as Kent Dorfman.
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
Animal House became one of the biggest cult films that has transcended generations. Furst's character is still being quoted to this day.
Oh boy, is this great!
Along with Pluto, Otter, and Dean Wormer. Furst died of complications from diabetes. He was 63. Todd Ants, ABC News.
KNSS News time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock with Steve and Ted.
And in traffic right now, well, we've got George Washington Boulevard and Lincoln. Traffic signals malfunctioning there, flashing red all four directions. Got to treat that as a four-way stop. Gasoline prices in Wichita, $1.99 a gallon today. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jed Chambers.
Now we'll look at the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. The quieter weather that settled in for us yesterday is going to continue today. Some cloud cover this morning and sunshine as we move throughout the afternoon. We should be around 80 at lunchtime, 85 later on today for the high. Mostly clear, our low in the mid-60s tonight, and we start to warm back up again tomorrow, Tuesday, 92. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Thank you, Dan. Now cloudy, 63 degrees. We have a southeast wind at 3 miles per hour. Cooler temperatures after storm Sunday across south-central Kansas. Wichita's high temperature yesterday was 85 degrees, which is what we expect today. That is a little below the normal high of 88. And there are a lot of questions come to mind for those of us who really don't know much about the Navy and ships at sea and so forth, but seven missing sailors in the USS Fitzgerald dead after a collision with a great big cargo ship. ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky is with us live this morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Well, good morning. There are no fewer than four investigations getting underway, and the names and photos of the seven sailors have been released now, and many are wondering how something like this happens. An island-sized container ship clearly should have been detected by an American warship with sophisticated radar aboard. So the questions range from technical to mechanical to human as the Navy tries to get to the bottom of what happened.
The cargo ship, what, do you smash into the side of the Fitzgerald? Is that what happened?
Right into the starboard side where the captain's quarters were and where the sailor's berthing quarters were. So there were probably 100 or so sailors asleep at the time. This was just after 2 o'clock in the morning, and there would have been a skeleton crew on board to keep things running and in theory to keep watch on the radar in these busy waters off Tokyo. And the ship, the bow of the container ship, just pierced right through the destroyer, and a number of the sailors died in flooded compartments.
Well, and I've seen the video, and you can see the damage above the waterline, but is there not also damage below the waterline? Did this ship almost sink, Aaron?
Oh, it did. It did. And the Navy is crediting the actions of those sailors on board who survived to save the ship, which they did by sealing off certain compartments and the like. They trained for this, and the ship did nearly sink, but was able, with the help of tugboats, to get towed back into berth so they can I guess, figure out what to do with repairs or what. But the investigations are just getting underway. The captain had to be airlifted off the ship, taken to the hospital, but likely this is all going to fall on him.
Well, and the most unsophisticated thing I would think on a ship is to have somebody standing watch 24/7 visually. But then, you, as you said, they also have radar aboard to detect anything in the area.
Yeah, and there is a, something akin to the black box, which will record some of the technical data so that the investigators can go back and figure out or try to figure out what may have gone wrong. But look, there's no way to overstate how catastrophic this was.
Oh, yeah.
It was and you should have officers on the bridge ensuring the ship maintains course, keeping a physical eye on other ships in vicinity. And if there was going to be something out of the ordinary, in theory, the captain should have been notified, but the captain was in his quarters at the time. So that's part of the reason why, training will be looked at as well.
You're looking at, what did you say, four investigations so far?
Four, no fewer than four.
All right.
Navy teams, Coast Guard team, of course, the container ship is going to do its own thing. And it's weird. The container ship company is putting the time of the accident a full hour before the Navy does, and denying that the ship made a U-turn.
Wow.
In these crowded waters. And that's something that, maritime watchers saw quite clearly, and that other technical data suggests, and yet the container ship is denying it.
I'll tell you, it sounds to me like we're going to hear some more about this in the coming days and weeks.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, thanks, Aaron. ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky in New York with a live report on the story of the seven missing sailors in the USS Fitzgerald collision found dead. How could this happen? How could this happen? Well, I guess we're going to find out how it happened. 8:15 now with Steve and Ted, and today is June 19th. On this date in 1990, the infamous Inland Hurricane roared across south-central Kansas. Winds from 80 to an incredible 120 miles per 20 miles per hour.
Whoa.
Tore through a path from Pratt to Emporia.
Mm.
Several buildings were unroofed. Almost all the TV and radio stations were knocked off the air. These incredible winds caused $80 million damage and injured 33 people. That was in 1990.
Summer of 90.
1992, two rounds of severe thunderstorms ravaged south-central Kansas. Round one early in the morning when severe thunderstorms erupted over Sedgwick County, bombarding some areas with hail as large as softballs. And later that morning, round two struck an even larger area with baseball to softball size hail.
Yeah, here it came again.
The two episodes combined to injure 69 people, caused around $600 million damage. You can't imagine all the car windows busted out, the roofs damaged.
Ooh.
At the time, it was the costliest natural disaster in Kansas history.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty well assured that we lost our roof that time at our house. We've done it over the course of several years, about three roofs here in Wichita, and with hail damage. But you got hail the size of softballs coming down. That's going to cause some.
You better not
damage.
Be outside during that.
And we were talking earlier that it seems like the most damage was on the west side,
around
Friends University and maybe LD Stadium. I think you're right. I think it was mostly around the west side of town. But what a couple of storms!
You
man. We had
a
pretty good storm
last week. Were that
no kidding? Yeah. We had some pretty good storms this last week and into the weekend, but nothing quite that bad. I got up yesterday, Sunday morning, and found a great big tree limb of, I don't know, a 10-incher, busted off a tree in the neighbor's yard and kind of lying over there. And looking around Riverside on the way to church yesterday, quite a bit of limb damage.
Yeah, I saw some limb damage yesterday after Saturday night.
And it looked like the flooding had been, the city streets had run pretty deep, at least for a time. So we had a lot of moisture over the weekend here in South Central Kansas and a little damage. 8:18 now, Steve and Ted, Sports Time with Ted Woodward, and we wrapped up that terrific golf tournament we see every year in Wichita, right?
Yep, the annual Pro Golf Tournament Wichita hosts every year, the 28th annual Air Capital Classic out at Crestview Country Club, the web.com tour making its annual stop in Wichita, and we had a wire-to-wire winner. On Friday, we were talking about Aaron Wise, the 20-year-old who played college golf at Oregon, won the individual NCAA championship just last year. Now he's got a pro win. Aaron Wise is the winner of the Air Capital Classic. He turns 21 later this week. He is the youngest winner ever in the Wichita event, and he's the fourth youngest winner ever on the Web.com Tour at the age of 20. He shot a 2-under par 68 yesterday, and nobody was close to him. He won the tournament by 5 strokes. $112,000 goes to Aaron Wise, and that puts him all the way up to 7th now on the Web.com money list, and that puts him in pretty good shape to start making a run towards the PGA Tour. Congratulations to Aaron Wise, winner in Wichita of the Air Capital Classic. Up on the PGA Tour, the U.S. Open finishing up yesterday in Wisconsin. 27-year-old Brooks Koepka was the winner, his first major championship of his career. Pro baseball yesterday on Father's Day at Lawrence Dumont Stadium. The first-place Wichita Wingnuts came back, down 1-0 in the 8th inning, tied it in the bottom of the 8th, won it in the bottom of the 9th on a game that got lost in the sun on the game-winning hit. The Wingnuts beat the Red Hawks 2-1 yesterday afternoon, finishing up the series with Fargo-Moorhead. The Wingnuts have a 4-game lead atop the South Division. That is the largest lead in the American Association. The Wingnuts will now spend the next 3 days in Salina, taking on the Stockade, 7:05 tonight. In Salina, the Stockade has lost 27 of its last 28 games. This is the home opener tonight for Salina after playing 30 straight games on the road to begin the season. Every team in the league has refused to play at Salina except for Wichita. Wichita is the only team in the league that is going to play road games in Salina this year. So the Wingnuts will visit for a few days here and a few days later this season. So tonight is the home opener for Salina against the Wingnuts, 7:05 tonight in Salina. And in Major League Baseball yesterday, the Arizona Diamondbacks went into Philadelphia, beat the Phillies 5-4 in 10 innings. Another big day for David Peralta, the former Wichita Wingnut. He hit a pinch-hit single in the top of the 9th inning to help the Diamondbacks rally to tie it up. He's now batting .458 in his last 6 games. He's batting .321 on the season, now 8th in the National League in batting average. 7 wins in a row for the red-hot Arizona Diamondbacks. And in Major League Baseball, the Kansas City Royals in Los Angeles taking on the Angels yesterday. And the Royals once again getting the job done. Jason Vargas on the mound, picking up his 10th win of the season. The first pitcher in the big leagues this year to get to 10 wins. And the Royals were piling up runs behind him. You heard the game on KFH.
Now the 1-2. Swing and a ball hit well to center. Sending Maben back. Maben to the fence. It's gone! A 3-run bomb for Perez. And the Royals lead is 7-2.
Salvador Perez with the big hit there. The Royals win the game 7-3. Kansas City went 7-2 on their California road trip. They loved being out in Cali.
As poorly as they started, the Royals, to have somebody with 10 wins at this stage in the season is amazing to me.
Yep. Pitching's been pretty good all season.
That's true.
Vargas especially.
Yeah.
The Royals are just 2 games behind a playoff spot. They are now, after taking on some not-so-good teams during this California road trip, now the Royals are taking on the first-place Boston Red Sox for the next few days up in Kansas City. Live pregame coverage of the Royals and the Red Sox begins at 6:30 tonight. The big crowd in Kansas City for the Red Sox games. Listen live on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
You know, Ted, we were talking about the disaster of 1992, the big hailstorm. Mm-hmm. That came just a day after Russian President Boris Yeltsin visited Wichita.
Remember when Yeltsin was here in Wichita?
Yeah, he was here the next day.
And the next day there was a huge
disaster.
Huge hailstorm.
Yeah, all right, to 8:22.
I remember I stood at Bluff and Kellogg and watched his motorcade go right down as they were heading downtown.
The Russian president. Yeah. All right. 8:23 now, Steve and Ted. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean says the left is unhinged over Trump's election. Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS.